Okay. Over the past 3 weeks, or today being the third week, we've been looking at our values. We're looking at what do we value as a congregation. And these are not values that we have thought out as Josh Jen. They're Bible values. Like, we found it in the Bible. And so we are basing our lives on that, and not on our clever ideas. And so Richard's got us going on the first week. Maybe you can just bring the mic a bit down. Otherwise, I'm going to be a gospel preacher here. I don't need that much help this morning. All right. So the first one, Richard got us going with the abiding part. And just that a disciple is somebody who abides in Jesus, belongs to family, which Derek did last week, and contributes. So I will be touching on the contributing part this morning. But if you want to be a disciple that's alive, these three things need to be actually alive. Now, this term of the ABCs actually comes from a life-saving and a first aid term. Now, when the paramedics, when the lifesavers arrives at a scene where there's an emergency or so, they check for three things. The ABCs. Airway, is there any blockages? Is there anything that's blocking? And then the second one is breathing. Check for the person's breathing. And the third one is circulation. Is there a pulse? Is there a movement, color of the skin? And this is what these guys use to see whether somebody is alive and what would be the next step to actually help them. Now, for us as disciples, we have also the ABCs. Abiding. This relationship with Jesus. So what we have done is we actually we've taken some of our values and put it under these umbrella terminology. So we have abiding, which is, they devoted themselves. Acts 2:42, Bible-based abiding. That's part of abiding. Built on the foundation of Jesus. Led by the Holy Spirit. When we say abiding, we're saying this. We're saying these things. Prayer and worship. Like this morning where we could just worship Jesus and there was such a joy. Belonging. Every individual important. The children. Everyone is important. Baptism. Communion. Hospitality, open hearts, open homes, priesthood of all believers, where we each one has a part to play that we can give, godly families, and then we get to contributing. And I'm running through this because I actually want to get to the preach. This is not what I'm... And then contribute, which is evangelism, discipleship, caring for the poor, stewardship, signs, wonders, miracles. And wasn't it just lovely to contribute this morning in worship? Huh? We could all just stand here being all miserable with ourselves because life is difficult and just be consumed with our own issues and just feel all miserable. But the moment when we turn our eyes on Jesus, it's something out of this world. I mean, it just lifts those things of our lives, the weightiness. So, I want to ask you, if a disciple is somebody who abides in Jesus, who belongs to family and contributes, if that is a disciple that is alive, then I want to ask you, how alive are you at this moment? How alive are you? And this does not just, this applies to individuals, but it also applies to us corporately. How alive are we? How's our abiding doing? How much do you feel you belong? Do you feel part of family? And are you giving? Are you contributing? As I was preparing this, I was reminded about a story it's actually what happened to me. So I went to Isle of Man. I had the privilege, I went there once, and it was quite an experience. And so this Isle of Man is this little island that you have to get. I mean, I flew to London, and then I had to take a bus to Gatwick, and then I had to take another flight. And then you get on these planes that has these propellers. And it's crazy. Like, if that thing takes off, it goes like, me, and it bumps the whole time. And it's like, I don't know, maybe the flights are better. But in 2015, it was quite interesting. And then everybody's holding to their seats, and they're like, woo! And it's like a roller coaster in there. And so it was quite fun. And I know where I'm going if something happens. So I was like, yay, this is great. Enjoying the ride. And so I had the privilege to go to Isle of Man. And we were invited to do a worship conference and with Ewan and them. And during we were there for about, I think, 8 or 9 days. I can't remember. But in the midweek, we were invited to this men's Bible study group. So they met in one of the businessmen's boardroom. And let me tell you, it was top notch. It's like, I mean, you walk in there, you feel, I'm underdressed. I'm like, this is, I mean, big numbers are moved in this room. And so this one guy was hosting us, and this gentleman was sitting there, was speaking about a book and just talking about Jesus doing in their lives. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. But you know what left a mark upon my life coming back? I mean, we had a great time of equipping and training. But what left a mark in me was that Sunday morning, I was asked to lead worship at Port St. Mary congregation, and then the same guy who was suited up in his fancy boardroom clothing was walking around with an apron and serving donuts. Like that. He was packing chairs, and I was like, wow. I mean, this guy, I mean, he doesn't have to do it. And that brings me into the story of what I want to speak about today. And that's John 13, verse 1 to 15. And we're going to read it together, where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And so I want us just to read together. I'm just going to read here. I think the lyrics will go off the lyrics. The scripture will go up there. I'm not going to sing it. Before the Passover. Okay, let's read. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper. Who's hungry? Okay, now let's move on. And the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel and he had around him. Verse 6, when Jesus came to Simon Peter and said to him, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you don't understand it now, what I'm doing, but someday you will. No, Peter protested. You will never wash my feet. Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. Simon Peter explained, then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet. Jesus replied, a person who has bath all over does not need to wash except for their feet to be entirely clean. And you, disciples, are clean, but not all of you. For Jesus knew who would betray him. This is what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean. After washing the feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. So the title of today's message is Do As I Have Done. He has given us an example. I need to just drink some water. So we get into John 13, verse 1 and 2. It says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour has come. Now, this is very interesting because this gives us a time reference. So this probably happened on a Thursday evening just before the Passover. And this is a very important time because Jesus knew that his hour has come. What hour? His hour to die on a cross, to suffer the most horrible death. I like this thing. Jesus was about to face the agony of crucifixion and terror of standing in a place of a guilty sinners before the righteous wrath of God the Father. So he knew this was the hour. But there were times early in John where John says, my hour has not come yet. My hour has not come yet. And now in John 13 he says, the hour has come. It's Jesus' very last meal with his disciples. If you have a very last meeting with somebody that you love very dearly, do you think what happens there would be very important? It would be the last time that they would actually sit down and have a meal like this on this side of the cross. They had breakfast afterwards, but on this one they had supper. And so what's interesting for me when I read through this, when you get to verse 4, it says, so he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped the towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. So firstly, he got up from the table. What do you do at a table? You sit and you are being served. And I think many times we come to church with that mindset, I'll come and sit and somebody must serve me. And somebody must give to me. Where contribution is something different. And Jesus setting an example to us. He got up from the table. He got up from the comfort of sitting at the table, expecting for others to serve. I mean, he had all the right to keep sitting down and to be served because he was the Lord. He was the master. He's the Messiah. He knew that his hour has come. He knew, I mean, there was nothing in Jesus' heart even for comfort eating in that moment. He's just like, no, like I'm going to the cross. Oh, I must eat. Jesus, and that's just a lichtenoekie, sorry. Maybe not so funny. But it's like Jesus. And then the very thing, he got up from the place of comfort and then he took off his robe. Now the robe was, that would signify just who he was. And it was a part of identity. And so it says he took off that and he was in his undergarment or... And this was what servants as wore. That, where's my English? What? Dienstknechte gedraaid. Okay, daar gaan wij. With servants, the clothing that they wore, and so he took off that which symbolized dignity and identity. Like this businessman that actually could come with his suit and just say, "Hey, do you know who I am?" Jesus took everything off of "Do you know who I am?" And he humbled himself. I loved, before I get to that, the one thing that it also says, he knew the Father had given him authority over everything, and he knew his identity, and he chose to take that off and to serve his disciples. In Luke 22, verse 24 to 27, it says, the disciples, they were arguing. Verse 24, and then they began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. Jesus told them, in this world, the kings and the great men lord it over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. But among you, it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and a leader should be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here, for I am among you as one who serves. Philippians 2, verse 6, it says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And in this moment, he humbles himself to the place of a servant, and he washes the feet of his disciples. So he poured water into this basin. Now there was 12 disciples, and that's what I know about, but there could have been more people in this room, and he started one by one washing the feet. Just imagine how much time it took to actually wash the feet of the disciples. He even washed Judas's feet. Because Jesus knew that he was already, the devil already prompted him to betray Jesus. And Jesus is coming to a place and he washes the betrayer's feet. I love this quote by D.A. Carson. He says, "With such power and status at his disposal, we might have expected him to defeat the devil in an immediate and a flashy confrontation, and to devastate Judas with an unstoppable blast of divine wrath. Instead, he washes his disciples' feet, including the betrayer." Example like no other. So he goes through the disciples. Imagine we have to do that here this morning. It's going to be quite going and washing everyone's feet. And then he gets to Peter. And, Peter, he's just a classic, no? He is just, you just love him. Verse 6, when Jesus came to Simon Peter, he said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, Peter. But afterwards you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus asked him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share in me." Some translation says that you have no part of me. If I don't wash you, you don't have no part. And so Simon Peter said, "Lord, not just my feet, but also my hands." And so Jesus comes to verse 12. Or like John tells, but we get to verse 12, where he says, after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing?" Verse 13, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am. And since I, the Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should do that for others' feet. You should wash others' feet also." Verse 15, "I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." Do as I have done to you. Now, what are you saying, Jesus? Should we start foot washing businesses or or ministries? Well, some ministries is actually businesses. Should we start some foot washing ministry here today? Because why did they wash the feet in that time? It's because their feet was dirty. They walked with sandals amongst dirty road and they had dirty feet. They didn't have Nikes or Adidas or cars to drive around. They walked, and probably on that road there was some left behind mess, dung of the animals that had to walk through these things. So their feet was fail. It was dirty. And it needed to be washed. And it was actually for hospitality, it was the host that needed to provide a servant to wash the feet. And now Jesus is the host. He takes off his garment, steps away from it, and he washes the disciples' feet. How can we do the same today? we can contribute and serve in other ways. But, and I'm going to mention three. Now, obviously, there are a lot of areas, but these are umbrella terms. Three places that you can serve and contribute. Remember, for circulation to happen, for you to be alive, there needs to be a sense of contributing, that you are not just coming on a Sunday to sit in a chair and be there and have no contribution. Because this is not the church that Jesus is building. He's building a church where we all come and we give. And so the first thing, I want to kind of divide it into three things. Time, talents, and treasures. We contribute by these three things. This is not a new term. I haven't thought this out. Somebody else somewhere was clever. I should have asked AI who thought it out, but I don't know. But somebody thought it out. Time? Jesus thought it out, yes. Time? It's one of the non-renewable resources we have. And you can give, you can contribute by your time. Firstly, by showing up. By showing up. Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You have time. You might feel that you don't have time, but if you take time, you have it. If you take time, you have it. Otherwise, everything else is going to take your time. But you have time, and you can take that time and contribute of your time. But wait, there's more. There's more. Take time and not just arrive at 9 o'clock, but take 30 minutes more and arrive at 8:30 and join the prayer meeting. Take some more time and come and pray and contribute. But there's more. Don't just arrive at prayer meeting, but pray a prayer. Say a hallelujah. Say a amen. Say thank you, Jesus. Do you get what I'm saying? It's like we need to take time to actually contribute. We think I need to do this and I need to do it. But sometimes it is as easy. But taking time to actually just show up and to pray a prayer. This morning, we all took time and we worshiped Jesus with all of our hearts. We danced. The kids, yo, did you see them going for it this morning? Huh? I was like, wow, Lord, this is amazing. This is what I'm dreaming about. The kids just loving Jesus. They took time and they gave of their time. What about putting in leave, going to Zambia? Isvia, where are you? Are they paying you to go to Zambia? Did you take leave to go? Yeah. Adrian, are you taking leave to go? Corneille, you taking leave to go? Take time. Who is on the dollar? You have school. You still in school or not? Finish your school. Yeah, so you're taking leave from school. Yeah, it's exciting. Huh? But take time to give of yourself. We all have time. Can you contribute? Yes, you can. Are we going to wash feet? We can by taking time, by showing up and giving of ourselves. There are many things even with time. These things, you will see that over... Yo, where's the English this morning? Sorry. The next one is talents. Practical, we all got talents that we have to give. What talents do you have? Are you giving that? Are you giving of those talents? It could be practical things, by packing chairs or serving coffee, or putting a green bib on and serving at Justin Kids or at Junior Youth. It could be hospitality, by just serving coffee and hosting people in your home, or making meals when there are, like, some of us have certain talents. We love making food. We love welcoming people in our homes. If there's circulation, we'll be alive. But if we all just focus on ourselves and keep our talents under our chair, or like we don't put a lamp under a bucket, we put it on a stand, like that scripture in, bless you, that scripture in Matthew 5 verse 15. No one lights a lamp and then put it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. And I think this is such a cool, it's not about you and how people can, well done brother, you have served us well kind of thing. It's a way of contributing, welcoming people into family. And the last one is treasures, that we can give of our physical possessions. We can give into the alms. We can give, tithing is like, that's a starting block, that's like it's, but there's offerings, like you guys have been so generous over this time, pouring, like buying pancakes and buying cupcakes and just overabundantly, just generous. That's how we contribute. That's how we are feeling part. Now I want to ask you one question. Would you rather drink water from a stagnant pool or a running stream? Who said stagnant pool? Why not? You probably watch Bear Grylls. No, we all know that you don't drink water from a stagnant pool because it is filled with murky bacteria. It's going to kill you. But when the water is running, it's alive and you can drink of that. And sometimes we think that if we do nothing, there will be life. Maybe some of us are experiencing a measure of weightiness because we're not giving of ourselves. We're not feeling the sense. And you know, maybe you're sitting here today and you don't feel like you belong. I want to tell you, start contributing. Find a way where you can give and serve and give of yourself. This is like prophesying. The gifts of the Spirit. I'm not even getting into all these things. But there are many ways that we can actually give of ourselves. We can give of our time. We can give of our talents. And God says if we are faithful with our talents, He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. But if we sit on it or bury it, He's like, you're a wicked servant. God has given us these gifts that we can give to serve one another, to contribute. And so I'm closing this morning with this following. What is Jesus saying to us? He's saying to us, get up from the table. Get up from the place where you sit and waiting for somebody to serve you. And start washing feet. By time, talents, and treasures. By giving of yourself. Take off your robe. Yes, maybe you are somebody very important. But Jesus was also somebody very important. And He said, do like I have done. Do what I've done. Follow my example. And contribute what He has asked us to do. So how do we respond to this message? Well, if you're a visitor here with us this morning, it's your first time here. If I've done a good job, then you probably was like, where can I sign up? But we would love for you to come and sit at the table and just be loved. And we want to pour our love and pray with you and serve you and let you feel welcome in this family, that you feel you belong. But I hope that at one time, that as you've seen us love you, that you also start doing the same. As we have seen from Jesus. And then there are some of us that's been here for a very long time. That your chair is very warm. Have you ever sat on a chair when somebody has sat on there? Like, especially in winter, it's very nice. And don't you sit on that chair. It's my chair. If your chair is very warm, maybe it's time that you get up from that place and ask Jesus, what do I have? Can I take some time? Can I take some of my talents? Can I take some of my treasures and give? And give and contribute so that there can be circulation in our midst. This is how we can wash feet. As practically as that. And I believe, I heard there are some of us that actually are gifted in the prophetic. And you have actually just taken a seat at the table. And God actually wants to come and just refresh some of those things. There are some of us that has served and maybe were disappointed in serving. And you maybe drawed back and you took a seat at the table. Get up from that table, take off that robe, and start giving in the areas that Jesus has given you to serve. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah.